Trinity Sunday is one of these Sundays of the year that priests more or less, the number of priests more or less kind of dread preaching on, because it's like, how do you preach on the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It's a mystery, right? And what can you say? So where do we begin? I think part of the problem is, like, when we're reflecting upon the Trinity, is that we begin by trying to understand rather than trying to relate. And so, you know, when I was in grade school, in CCD, that's what they called it back then, it's PSR now. So we had a triangle, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? And so the triangle, that was God. So I get it. Three angles, right? One God. Nailed it. Okay. And in seminary, I remember, you know, in the class on the triune God, we learned about all the Thomistic from St. Thomas's distinctions of the substance, the number of processions, person, nature. Okay, so you've got this system here, and you're connecting the dots. Okay, I comprehend it. Okay, so I really know God, right? And since God is our ultimate goal, our ultimate end, that's what I got to do. I got to understand it. Well, that is very true. God is our ultimate end in the sense of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are destined and ordained for what? To be a part of that family. That's what heaven is going to be. And we're already we're called to what? To be participating in that family now. And, you know, even the Second Vatican Council that occurred from 1962 to 1965, when the bishops came together, their theology, the theology that was at work there, was a very much a Trinitarian theology of how does this teaching, how does this area of the church, as we're looking forward to bringing the church to the world, how does it relate and connect back to the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? So Trinity was always the foundation, the source, and the reference point, okay, for the teaching of the Second Vatican Council. So, you know, there's a new push, a movement that the Trinity is very important for our faith, because we'd often forget about certain persons of the Trinity, especially the Holy Spirit, right? So now, okay, we get a sense that's what our call is. That's what, you know, we want to grow in as far as coming to know the Trinity, understanding the Trinity. But is it the best way to begin by approaching the Trinity by trying to understand the Trinity? Of course, there has to be understanding, but it's really more about, less about a cognition, you know, than about a relationship with the Trinity. You know, think about those of you who have successful marriages or been in successful marriages, you know that focusing as the end goal and understanding your spouse is not going to make you victorious in your relationship, right? You can never understand your spouse. We want to relate to a spouse. And I can give you this knowledge because I have so much experience as a married person. So you're going to be much more successful as a married person if your focus is relationship rather than just knowing everything. If I just knew, then I could do, you know. There's more to it than that. So in the same way with God, how do we nurture the relationship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Because that's the kind of knowing that we are called and invited to, right? Not just cognition knowing. That's second to this what? Interior knowing. Heart-to-heart type of knowledge, right? So, how do we move forward? Well, we listened to in the first reading from Proverbs about the beginning of the world, the beginning of creation, and how God was there from the beginning before the foundations of the world began. And so God was working in the creation. So we know work is a part of what God does. But what else did you hear about in that first reading? Or if you read it before Mass? I was his delight day by day. So this is the Holy Spirit at work. Playing with him all the while, playing on the face of the earth. God plays. Whoa. Have you ever thought about that? That God was playing on the face of the earth, playing all the while, and he found his delight in the human race. So, and in fact, when it comes to relationship with God, our ultimate call, playing is much more important than working. Working is certainly a component, an element of it, but a true playing, because playing allows us to what? Separate ourselves from that which is useful, that which is about progress, you know, efficiency, and it allows us to be in the relationship, right? So when does a family thrive? It thrives more when it's at play with one another than when it is at work. When everything is about perfection, all right, and we're work-oriented and efficient, then it becomes very difficult to separate ourselves and appreciate the dignity of each person in that family relationship. Because if it's all work-focused, all work-based, then one's worth is based upon what one produces. And this is kind of conceptual, right? It's kind of, sounds somewhat philosophical, but this really is an undercurrent of our culture. You know, it's like what you can produce is the standard for your worth and your dignity. And so, where did this come from? Well, we live in one great thing about our culture, we as Americans, is we are very competitive. And one really bad thing about our American culture is that we are very competitive. So competitive is about work. Competitive is overcoming, striving, efficiency, progress. But the problem is, if that becomes the core focus, the central focus of what we're all about, that creates basically an adversarial relationship with my brothers and sisters, because I'm always competing, right? And if I'm always competing, then I'm not able to have that free relationship of play. So what has to undergird our the spirit, our motivation as Christians? Competition can have a part of it, because that's kind of where the increasing in growth comes from. But it really has to be less competitive motivated and more companion motivated. So companionship versus competition. Because really at the heart, at the foundation of the stewardship way of life, it's not competition with my brothers and sisters, it's companionship, right? So the whole body comes together to share their gifts and love of God and neighbor. This solidarity that we are called to as Christians. And so this is a little bit maybe uncomfortable for us to think about, but really, as being a member of God's family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and this call to play, right? This free relationship, philosophers would call what I'm using as play, and what the scriptures is using as play, is leisure, right? Diversion, I'm meaning the same thing. Not entertainment, that's something different. But if we're so caught up into this competitive mindset, it becomes very difficult to live out our Christian call as companions with one another and to be motivated to live out that stewardship, which is a grateful response of a Christian disciple. I think it's a beautiful invitation. It's a tough invitation. It's a rich invitation, but it's also an invitation that we can't do on our own. This movement from utility, usefulness, to just being who we are as far as sons and daughters of God, to being competitors to being companions, it is a movement of conversion. And so all conversion begins with the Holy Spirit. So it has to be the work. We have to turn in petition and pleading to the Holy Spirit to bring that transformation in our hearts. Think about, the apostles, part of this is our human nature, part of this is the culture. But the apostles, what was their response when they were with Jesus about, like, serving the Lord in discipleship? who's going to be the greatest, right? So it's in our blood, but yes, it's something that's in our culture, but it's something in our fallen nature. And Jesus, what he turned it on his head. He said, no, it's like whoever serves the least, right? Takes the last place. He's talking about companionship. And so as we move forward, thinking about who we are as Christians and working and striving to play more in our relationship to God, to have that free relationship, I just want to share with you our Holy Father, Pope Francis' words on this. He says, he was asked, do we need to rediscover the meaning of leisure? So I've been using the word play, right? And he responds, together with a culture of work, there must be a culture of leisure. To put it another way, people who work must take the time to relax, to be with their families, to enjoy themselves, read, listen to music, play a sport. But this is being destroyed in large part by the elimination of the Sabbath rest. More and more people work on Sundays as a consequence of the competitiveness imposed by a consumer society. And so we have to being aware of this and realizing that even those things that are destined for play, that were meant for play, like sports, right? We say play ball. They can get to the point and become so distorted that they move from ceasing playing to work. That's kind of the reason we had a speaker come to visit our grade school this year, and he spoke like 60 to 70% of kids by seventh grade quit sports. Why? It's no fun anymore. So what's happened? Something beautiful and wonderful has been taken out of this leisure activity. Like I said, this is not going to be something that's overcome overnight, but just being aware of it so that we can bring it to the Lord in prayer so that we might know the freedom. God wants to give us freedom, the freedom of being sons and daughters of God the Father.